In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I was just rereading something from St. Louis Marie de Montfort's beautiful book, The Secret of the Rosary, and I urge all of you to read and reread it. And it happened both to St. Dominic and to Blessed Alan de la Roche, who was a member of the Dominican Order. It happened that Our Lady appeared to both of them, and they lived in separate eras, but one it happened where St. Dominic had a very fine sermon prepared, and Our Lady appeared to him before that and said, "Dominic, what you have prepared is very good, but I want you to put it aside, and I want you to preach my rosary." And the same thing happened to Blessed Alan de la Roche, who was an apostle of the rosary. He had a very fine sermon prepared. Our Lady appears to him and says, "I want you to put your very good sermon aside. I want you to pray to preach my rosary." So on this Feast of the Holy Trinity, I too am going to preach about the rosary. It is the last Sunday of May, a special month dedicated to Our Lady. But there are many special connections between the 15 decades of the Rosary and the Blessed Trinity. So that is what I wish to explain to you today. We know that the Holy Trinity is the most central of all doctrines, and before anything existed, the Holy Trinity existed. It always was, always is, and always will be. Three persons that together make up one God. Each one of them is not one-third God each. Don't make that mistake. Each one individually and fully is God. And this is the mystery, that together they make up one God in three persons. We make that act of faith. Just because we can't understand it fully doesn't mean it's not true. And it's true because God has revealed it to us in Holy Scripture. So let's take a quick look at the mysteries of the Rosary. We look at the first mystery, the Annunciation. As we say in the Creed, she conceived by the Holy Ghost. The second person was conceived by the third person, and he took on a human nature. He became incarnate within Mary. And we can imagine the Father sending the Son from heaven to go down to earth. So you see, is not the Trinity present in the first joyful mystery? And really, for all of the mysteries, all three persons are either very directly or indirectly referenced. They're present. In the second joyful mystery, Mary is carrying Jesus, as every pregnant mother does. And she goes to her pregnant cousin. What an enormously strong and inspiring pro-life message. Life begins in the womb. So the second person of the Holy Trinity is very much present in that mystery. And of course, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost always work together. So wherever we find one person, the other two persons are there. In the third joyful mystery, the Son of God incarnate now becomes visible to all that come and see him. In the fourth joyful mystery, the presentation in the temple, Jesus is offered to whom? To the Father. Of course, the Holy Ghost, though not specifically referenced, he's present. In the fifth joyful mystery, we hear the words of our Lord when Our Lady says to him, "Son, why hast thou done so to us? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" And to those standing around, they all thought St. Joseph was his father. Remember, appearance-wise, that seemed to be true. But already our Lord was revealing, manifesting the doctrine of the Trinity. This is my Father's will. St. Joseph is, of course, only foster father. In the second, or rather the first sorrowful mystery, we hear the plaintive cry of our Lord in the Garden of Olives, "Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me." And then in the other sorrowful mysteries, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, in his human nature is scourged, is crowned with thorns, carries his cross, and is then nailed to it. On the cross, one of his excruciating cries was, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He's calling out to the Father in his human nature. And of course, the Father never abandoned him. And God our Father will not abandon us. But he allowed our Lord to experience the feeling of abandonment. And he suffered that to help us in our times of desolation, and a reminder that the Father is still there, even though that feeling of abandonment can be strong. And then we go on to the glorious mysteries. It's beautiful how in Scripture we read the Father raised the Son, and then we also know, and the Scripture says, the Son raised himself from the dead. And also the Holy Ghost raised him from the dead. The Trinity is there in the resurrection. Of course, only the Son actually rose again in his revived or resurrected human nature. But all three persons are there. And then in the ascension, we see our Lord going to sit at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Ghost obviously has to be there. And then in the third glorious mystery, the Father and the Son send the Holy Ghost down to earth. Our Lord said, "If I do not go, then the Paraclete will not come to you." So that was why he ascended to heaven, so that he and the Father could send the Holy Ghost. And then in the fourth glorious mystery, Our Lady's Assumption into heaven. Where is she going? To be with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then in the fifth mystery, glorious mystery, the coronation of Our Lady. We're celebrating her queenship this Friday. Her being declared Queen of Heaven and Earth. And there is Catholic art that has shown the Holy Trinity all crowning her. And why not? She has the greatest relationship with the Holy Trinity. She is the most perfect daughter of the Father. She's the perfect mother of the Son. And she's the perfect spouse of the Holy Ghost, as we say by analogy. So I hope that what I was able to do here was to show you that by praying the rosary, you will be affirming your faith in the Holy Trinity. You will be growing in your faith in the Holy Trinity. You will be honoring the Holy Trinity. And Mary does lead us to the Holy Trinity. She is no obstacle whatsoever if she had been, God would not have made her or given her such a great role, so many great roles to play. But she leads us to God in most special ways. So I urge you then to an increased devotion to the Holy Rosary. We need the Holy Rosary to keep our faith strong, to keep our morals strong. We have to live in such a decadent and impure world. We need the graces of the Rosary to help us persevere. The Rosary brings down grace. It increases grace in us. This mysterious thing that we cannot touch, feel, or weigh, or see directly, but it is so critically important. What is sanctifying grace? It is the very life of God, the life of the Trinity that we received in baptism. That's why we're adopted, because God shared his own life with us. And every prayer we pray increases, strengthens the life of grace in us. It brings down actual grace. That is also intangible, but no less necessary. And the Rosary brings down countless graces upon ourselves and upon those around us, upon the whole world. Remember at Fatima, Our Lady said, pray the Rosary. And she said this as a solution to the greatest war that the world had ever seen up to that point. The Rosary brings down graces. The Rosary helps us to battle laxity and worldliness. We will always have to fight that battle. We want to become lax. We want to grow slack. The world tempts us to embrace its values. The Rosary helps us to effectively battle this. The Rosary sanctifies us. Remember that Our Lady gave the Rosary to Saint Dominic in his apparently futile attempt to battle the Albigensian heresy. Yes, he was praying. Yes, he was sacrificing, offering up great penances, preaching zealously. And that helped. But it was when Our Lady said to Saint Dominic, preach the Rosary, then the conversions began to happen on a large scale. The same is true today. The Rosary is transformative. It is powerful. I can't stress to you how powerful it is. As Father Patrick Patron said, the family that prays together stays together. They resolve their problems and challenges in ways they would never otherwise be able to do. So the Rosary is that critical. St. Louis Brie de Montfort urges Catholics to pray the 15 decades daily. And I know there are individuals that do that. I'm very glad to hear that. Some of them are able, or many of them are able to do it because they're maybe retired or maybe just in their illness, they're praying those extra rosaries. And let me stress, quantity is not as important as quality. You don't want to say the 15 decades, rattle it off just to say, I did it. It would be better to pray 5 fervent decades than 15 precipitous decades. That's always true. But St. Louis is urging both the quantity and the quality, but at a minimum, 5 decades daily. remember the prophecy from the Middle Ages when St. Dominic, St. Francis, and I believe it was Blessed Angelus, a Carmelite, who met in Rome, and in that meeting, these three saints enjoyed each other's company in a very special spiritual way, but the prophecies were made, and one of those prophecies is, one day through the rosary and the scapular, the world will be saved. This makes all the more sense when we see the devastating changes made to the Mass and the sacraments since Vatican II, where Protestant and modernist elements were introduced into these rites, thereby invalidating at least some of them. How are people going to get the graces that they so desperately need? So fortunately, the rosary and the scapular are there. But you have to pray them and use them with great devotion. The rosary will prepare you to assist at Mass better. Some may even find the rosary a suitable way to assist at Mass. But remember, don't make the rosary a replacement for Mass. As St. Pius X said, pray the Mass. And if the rosary helps you to assist at Mass better, fine, pray it. But the rosaries you pray before will prepare you to assist at Mass, to attend it with all the more devotion and spiritual preparation. We have a great, great battle on our hands. It is so epic. But God has given us means of grace to deal with it. We, traditional Catholics, have the true Mass and sacraments, but in no way, let us neglect the Holy Rosary. Have the rosary with you. Carry it in your pocket all the time. Put it in your car. Have it in your homes, of course. Participate in the rosary with others whenever you can. It always adds more spiritual power when you do it that way. Go to the rosary marches that we have scheduled. Pray it at the abortion clinic. That will definitely help lessen the number of crimes happened. It is a spiritual weapon even. It's fought in a spiritual way. So on this Feast of the Holy Trinity, I urge you then, pray the rosary better and better. And in doing so, I know you will grow in your love, knowledge, and service of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God bless you.